Blog Talk Radio.
Because of what? COVID. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Wow. Father, help us.
Where'd he go? Oh.
Oh my goodness. Here we go again with the knucklehead saying, well,
Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on. Welcome, Blog Talk Radio. We're glad to have you here with us today.
Thank you, Audrey.
It's always good. Howdy, howdy to you all that are here tonight. Out of the animals I had, the dog is the best friend. Amen, Roger. Now, we're glad to have you with us tonight, Blog Talk Radio. We're going to have a good time studying the last week of Jesus' life. We started last Wednesday of his ministry here on the earth. And, of course, we last Wednesday. So tonight, we're going to have to make up a few nights. We're going to have to go Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and we're all the way to Monday night of Jesus last week in his ministry. So it's going to be a good study tonight. We're going to have to get right after it. So let's bring ourselves into focus now, and we'll share the screen. We'll rise and make our confession, say the Pledge of Allegiance, because we don't ever want to skip. Nope, didn't do it right. We don't ever want to skip or miss our honoring the troops for what they've done. Or it's not just the troops. I always say that because I have a folded flag of my dear friend Kennedy Welch, or my dear brother Michael Welch, his brother Kenneth Welch. I never knew Kenneth, but have been entrusted with his honor to Mike's homecoming, which was not going to be till the rapture, brother. So just don't get lost me here. But there are people who have given their whole life for this nation that never died. They never gave themselves in a battle. But they actually served 40, 50, 60, 70 years caring for this nation.
And their families along with them.
And their families served. And they were very, very valuable in the history of the United States.
Yeah.
And so not only do I don't have it written in yet, but we will come to a point where we'll figure out how to say that effectively. Holy Spirit always leads us, and we will make sure our statements are leading us into that place all the way through this in Jesus' mighty name. If you will, rise together with me. I can rise tonight because I don't have to tip anything over to rise. Mm-hmm. Let's render our honor by saluting and placing your hand over your heart. We'll make our pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action and still serving today. This moment of silence is in honor of those who have paid that last full measure of devotion. This moment of silence is in honor of those who today bear the scars of battle in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. And we say, trauma, get out of their life now.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now, let's do something different that we thought about this the last couple of times. Let's sing My Country Tis of Thee. Now, I don't know where to start it, and I'm not sure I know all the words anymore, but let's just hit it. You want to?
Okay.
Here we go. My country tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims bright, from every mountain side, let freedom ring. What, wait, what's the one, what part of it do we say? Oh, long, long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King. We'll have to learn that one because I like it. And we can switch back and forth between them. It's a good thing. Amen?
It is a good thing.
How many of you like growing and developing? I do. You should have seen Francetta and I, a couple of redneck hippies, just trying to figure out how to make YouTube work. We did it, too. Wait. The Holy Spirit showed up right here in Francetta's house. And
gave them wisdom.
And gave us the wisdom beyond our ages because we don't have a five-year-old to come to us what to do. And the people across the street that do have a five-year-old might not like their kid coming into this house. Amen. Here we go. Let's make our opening prayer together.
Father,
we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ, filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that believers' lives will be changed forever, and that glory and honor may be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And now we declare the commanded blessing of unity. I think we're still getting a little volume off your phone, Francetta.
Well, I turned it down.
All right, that's good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. I'm just making. I'm just making sure we're not giving that feedback. Here we go. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us, brethren, to dwell together in unity. It is the precious oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garment. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. Now, remember, we're not talking about just oil on our head. We are talking about Jesus, the anointed one, and his anointing in our life going with us. Here we go. The unity in the body of Christ. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Say it. I am walking worthy. I am. I really am walking worthy of the calling with which I'm called. I'm determined. Verse number 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Want to say it? I receive the grace.
I receive the
for
grace
my gift.
For my gift. Amen.
Amen. There's a grace on your gift, not just the pastor. And I thoroughly expect you to start flowing in.
And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles,
some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Say it again. That I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 14. So that we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me, Lord, to be a blessing to others. That's
Amen.
My prayer to every one of you. Lord, use me to be a blessing to others. That's
Amen.
Our prayer every time we come here. And now we speak right now over every peacemaker around this nation. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, the Coast Guard, the Secret Service, Special Forces. We speak over every boot camp, we speak over the state police, the sheriffs, the local police, our security, our rescue workers, in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
Amen. Father, may everyone today who is on this day remembering their loved one's life lived, who served so valiantly for this country.
Amen.
Whether in the military or just in the community, maybe just a good pastor. Well, you can't say it that way, but I'll fix my words later. We bless them today in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. May God bless America.
Okay, this is really something. Roger just put in here, question, wouldn't it be great if Jesus came back on Resurrection Day? Roger, Pastor and I just said the same thing to each other. Was it yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thinking, how cool would that be if Jesus came back on Resurrection Day? So maybe this is a prophetic thing.
Now, we don't know that Roger was just prophesying, but we certainly agree with the utterance that he just gave. And although he may not be a prophet, did it edify, did it exhort, and did it comfort you?
Yes,
it did me too. It does not freak me out, and it doesn't freak our group out. Now, if you're somebody here that's like, that freaks me out, Pastor, well, then you got to listen a little closer tonight so you won't be freakish out.
Amen.
Here we go. Now, we'll let everybody get caught up. Wow, there's a severe lag in this house. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in Jesus' mighty name. And now the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Is it 5 minutes till? Is that what we got? Mm-hmm. All right. We're doing good. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion.
We
highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain.
We
declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today.
We declare
this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. And then from the great anthem that we sang a little earlier, long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, and amen, amen, and amen, and amen, amen, and amen. Now, amen, fellas, unity in the body of Christ. Let's run over here now. We'll stop this share real quick. We'll kick ourselves back on. Get ourselves over here. Welcome, everybody. It's good to have you here. It's not Palm Sunday, but we're enjoying the decorations.
Yeah.
It's been a great Palm Sunday weekend, and I'm looking forward to a great Easter Sunday morning service. Now, at noon, we had made a statement that about Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, and then Louisiana. All right. None of the details fell in place this afternoon for that to start happening.
It was a good, great thought.
Though. It's still a great thought, and I'm still saying, even so, may it happen, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. That's where our heart is. Our heart is to be that big of a blessing. And so we bless you now in Jesus' mighty name. And we just keep saying, you say it with us, we'll say it with you. May the eyes of our understanding be flooded with enlightenment. I don't know why I keep scooching down in this chair. Do you have any idea? It's like, yeah.
Do you need a seatbelt? We can strap
up. All of a sudden, I realize I'm about to go down below the desk. What's going on here? Now, so welcome, everybody. We're glad to have you with us tonight. If you were not here at lunchtime at the noon prayer, it was a great time together today. Man, we was kicking it today at noon prayer.
It was
man.
A beautiful day. We headed outside.
It was outside our very first noon prayer outside was April 11 this year. Amen. And we've wanted to do many outside when we were in Williston, but outside was not cooperating.
We did most of last summer outside in Williston.
Are you on a hydraulic chair?
Yeah.
That is a funny.
One would think so.
It's funny. Amen, Roger. God bless you, man. Now, welcome, YouTube. Good to have you with us tonight. We're going to get you there. Now, I told you all that I was going to put out a post for you this afternoon about that red door. What did they call it? Why am I having trouble with it? Red door awareness?
Yes. Red door awareness.
No. It was Red Door Movement.
Red Door Movement.
For Passover. Did we get it in the family thread?
I believe you did. I don't know. I shared it on
Go ahead, Dan.
Good. It's in there.
All right.
Okay, good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, man. You got something else to say? Are you preaching tonight?
No, you're doing good.
Okay. Good talking with you, man. Thanks for being there, Dan. God bless you and Gwen and the family. I didn't hear any kids this time, but that's all right. They're around there somewhere. The Red Door Movement. Now, I was working hard at that, but we had some work we had to get done this afternoon, and it took us all afternoon and then a little extra, and we didn't get that quite done. I have a post that I want to send, but it's not like I like it yet. So I'm not going to put it out until it has the excellence level that I want it to have. So make sure you're sending it around because we want to share that all over this nation and see people putting some kind of red on their doorpost and their mantle, letting people know, I am covered by the blood of Jesus. Now listen. The death angel ain't going to take you out. It's not what that's about. Matter of fact, I really like how this lady says it. So let me just read it right off of her website, how she makes the statement, because it's a powerful statement. It's not fancy, but it's up. As a prophetic act, I am doing this during Passover. You simply put a red ribbon of tape over your door. This should all mean more to us this year than ever. This year, the death has passed over our homes. We are covered by the blood. Now, let's see. one more statement. Where did it go? Well, anyways, it said that there's no holiness in the ribbon. But you can read it all right there. All right, there it is. God uses symbols to communicate his messages. So as Christians, we're using this symbol to communicate our faith in God. Door frames covered in red during the Passover statement season is a statement of faith. We're standing firm on the blood of Jesus and communicating to the world that we believe God is in control. We're not doing this as protection for the coronavirus. There's no power in ribbon. However, there is power in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. This is a symbolic statement of our trust in him. And then they're saying if you'd like to participate, do it from April 8th through the 16th. And I think it's pretty amazing process. I really appreciate Brother Dave sharing that with us. Thank you, brother. Love you, man. And, you know, here's the thing about it. It's just a symbol that you can say, I'm doing this. I'm putting this up. And now every one of us are going to be driving around the community looking at people's doors. Do not drive in the ditch or hit a tree. Pay attention to the road.
Just notice
if you want to go door looking for ribbons, make sure somebody else is driving so that you're not taking out trees or telephone poles.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody took one out right over here the other day. Now, so I think that's going to be a great, 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 great process. And let's just reach up real big. He said he wants to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Jesus, may social media hand this to a billion Christians. May something if a billion people around the world put red over the doorpost of their home saying the blood of Jesus is in control of this house. Mm-hmm. Like these guys have a problem doing it. In 30 days, those guys had a billion views of their song, The Blessing. So it can go around the world in a real quick hurry. And we're doing a whole lot better sending it around today than we were before COVID, because all of us got experienced at shares. And so share it around, put it in your Facebook, put it in your emails, put it in your messengers, put it everywhere that you can put it. Matter of fact, get you an account on some of them really bad platforms and just spread it all over there.
Yeah, there you go.
Amen. Put the blood of Jesus right in the middle of it, and then make sure you close the door when you come out and just let it go crazy in there.
Amen.
And we'll give you some more information about that. If you live close to your state capitol, I recommend that you take you and your family and go stand on the Capitol step and take communion together. And just read right off the website. You can go to samuelzcottle.com/communion and be able to read the communion service right there while you're standing at the state capitol. As long as you got internet, and pretty much any state capital city is going to have internet when you're standing on the front steps of the state capital. Amen. Get you a bottle of grape juice and some Cheez-Its or something. Carry it with you, and it'll be a blessing to you. And speak over those houses, the House and the Senate, that the blood is applied to you and the plague has to pass and the plague carrier have to go away. Get right or go away.
Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Are we ready? Hello, Ripples. Are you ready? Are you needing camera time? Huh? Are you needing camera time? Huh? You've got to get up here and say hi to everybody. Huh? Are you? You going to get up here and say hi to everybody? No? All right. Making him shake and shiver when I said that. All right, well, somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
I love the Word of God. This is going to be a great study tonight. You're going to love every minute of this. Where did my verse go? Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. You ever been so convinced that's what you was looking for?
And have it not be.
Well, all right. Now, since you're in Luke chapter 4, that's a very good verse, a set of scriptures. Let me just preach and teach a little bit about that for you. All right. Now, I really wanted us to go. Oh, it was Matthew 4.
Oh.
And then Matthew 9. So, let's go to Matthew 4. Let me get there and take a look. That's what it was. Luke 4 is where Jesus said, I'm the Messiah. And they all like, we're throwing you off the cliff. Matthew chapter 4, and we're going down to, yeah, there it is, 23 through 24. 23 and 24. When you get there, hold your Bible up. We're going to make our confession tonight about the Word, and then we're going to dive in. We got a bunch of days to get caught up on, but you know what? It's going to be all right.
It's going to be all right.
Didn't I tell you it would be all right? I told you it would be all right. Well, he rules both day and night, and he reigns. Here we go. The confession. This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I am what is what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
The Holy Spirit of God.
Holy Spirit of
my
God,
resident teacher.
My resident
is making his word come alive.
Is making his word come alive.
In my life tonight.
In my life tonight.
I receive the word of God.
I receive
and plant him as a seed
in
the good soil of my heart,
producing
a hundredfold return
in
my spirit, soul, and body.
In
Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Here we go. Matthew. Boy, I'm determined to go there. The other ones, aren't I? Matthew chapter 4, verse number 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. How many of them?
All.
When you get done with all, what's left over?
Nothing.
Healing all kinds, all manners of sickness and diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases, torments, that's trauma, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. He healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. My singing seems to be improving for Easter.
Too much practice before Easter.
Just wait till you hear me sing Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. That's all you get. That's just a little taste. You know, that's a little bit. This is what Jesus did his whole life. The gospel of the kingdom must be preached. So from the very beginning of Jesus' life, what did he do? He preached the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Thy kingdom come to this earth as it is in heaven. God wants you and I, his kingdom heirs, kingdom heir, to bring that kingdom down to this earth and get it working in people's lives. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that's what this ministry is doing every time we come here. Today at noon, we read the verse again that said, you and me are co-laborers with God. Yes, we're laborers with each other, but we're also co-laborers with God on this earth. So go with me. Let's just read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. All right? That did not work.
Well, all right.
It's 1 Corinthians 3.
All right. Real close.
Here we go. 3. Let's do 7. 9. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters. But God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward. Whether you're planting, or you're watering, or you're encouraging, or you're blessing, or you're faithing, or you're praying, or you're sowing, no matter what it is you're doing, we are all one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So every time you come here, you are earning in your life. You're working. You're laboring with us. You are co-laborers together with us. And every time you come here, you're using your gift, your faith, your love, your calling, your mercy, your grace, your blessing, your words of faith. And you're going to be rewarded for that. So make sure you're using diligence as you're here. Because it's not just me and everybody's watching me. It is we are the body of Christ.
We are the body of
we
Christ.
We are. And when you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, it says every joint supplies that is not the marijuana smokers.
Amen.
Now, the marijuana smokers will say, Pastor, every joint does supply something to me. Well, that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about every joint in the body. And every one of you tonight are bringing something to make this work.
Yes.
Everybody right now say it. Lord, use me
and
my gifts to be a blessing here.
To be a blessing.
In Jesus' mighty name. Now, you might not ever even say anything. But if you're in your home saying, yes, Jesus, I'm in faith. Do it, Lord. Amen. Come on, Pastor, preach it.
Just that agreement.
That in itself. I mean, you might get up and run around the room and dance a little bit. Let's see, if that's what it is going on where you are, then do it. Like I heard the one man say, when you dance, and the Bible says it's actually jump up, twirl around, and land.
Yeah.
Just make sure the dog, the shoes, the stand, and there's plenty of room for you to do that. Because if you fall down, you don't want to break something. Mostly you. Here we go. let's go now to our study tonight of the last days of Jesus' life. And our title tonight for this program is Jesus' Last Week of Ministry. The gospel of the kingdom must be preached. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let's lay a little groundwork for it, and we're going to get this thing moving because you're going to enjoy this study in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. The book of John, chapter 21. We were there last night. Let me just grab that verse again. All right, John, every verse is going to come to me automatically tonight.
Amen.
All right, John 21, and that's 24 and 25. This is the disciple who testified to these things and wrote these things and knows this testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written, one by one, I suppose even the world could not contain the books that would be written. John was writing that by the Holy Spirit when he wrote that. All right? Why? Because Jesus began to do and teach. He wasn't just a teacher. He was a doer. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whomever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes this world, even our faith. So, not only do we live our life by faith, Jesus lived his life by faith. All through his ministry, he was diligently living by faith and walking by faith. Come on now, everybody work right here and get in the right spot. All right, I'm going to get there yet. Almost there. I'm there now. Now, so all through Jesus' life, he walked and lived and dwelt in faith. From the very beginning, I mean, he looked at Mary and Joseph and said, what's up with y'all, man? Don't you know about my father's business? Why? He was already doing the work that God given him to do. He had learned to hear the Father's voice, and the Father said, go into the temple and talk to the people in the temple. And so he was in there. And he was teaching and preaching. Now, what I wanted to do was follow the last week of Jesus' ministry. Okay? And so, what I'm going to start out with is, in order to do that, we would have had to start on Wednesday because Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. Now, I know that there's a bunch of people that are like, Pastor, what's up with this Wednesday thing? Well, I got my verses here. It's all right. Everything's cool. Peace, love, and brotherhood to all y'all. I have a whole document that's called 3 days in the center of the earth. I have a whole document that's called 3 days in the center of the earth. I have a whole document that's called, did anybody see that? Well, glory, hallelujah.
Have you seen it just recently? Just asking.
I was working on it this morning. I found it.
Okay.
Here we go. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. I want to lay this out so that it helps people understand the fact that even though we worship and we celebrate Christmas, Jesus' birth in December, and it's not, and we celebrate hold on just a second. And we celebrate that on that day. That doesn't mean that's the day Jesus was born.
Right.
All right. And we celebrate Good Friday on Good Friday because that makes for a really nice holiday on Friday. And it makes it easy for the work week. But, folks, that's not the day that Jesus was crucified. That's just the day they celebrate it. Now, one of those things that happens when that goes on like that and you start seeing this, they're like, why are we celebrating something that didn't really happen? Well, that's what the spirit of religion will get you. Now watch this. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, there's no way that you can miss what that set of verses are saying. You don't even have to be theological and hermeneutical and homiletical to understand that. There ain't but Jonah and belly. Are the only two syllable words in the whole verse. All right? So this is not difficult to understand. What you and I have to do is look at our doctrine and say, well, it doesn't match the Bible, but I'm going to go ahead and believe the Bible. Jesus was in the belly of the earth for how many days? 3 days. How many nights? Three nights. So if you do the math, Jesus actually was crucified on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, rose again on the first day of the week. Yes?
I just saw the message on
you. Oh. Let's go to Matthew 26:61. Look at another one. Matthew 26:61. Now, I know that might rock your world, but let it be rocked and rolled. We'll rock it, and then we'll roll that religion out, and we'll have a good doctrine. You don't have to go teach this. Nobody's going to hell if they don't. If they go to Good Friday service, that ain't nothing about all that. You can still go to Good Friday service and rejoice in what Jesus did and just say we couldn't do it on Wednesday because we was all working. Ready? 26:61. And said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. What was Jesus talking about? His body. He's going to tear that temple down. That temple's going to go. It's going to be dead. It's going to be laying on a slab dead for 3 days and build it again in 3 days. How do you like that? Now, let's go to Matthew 27 and let's go to verse number 40. No, let's go to 38. And we'll go down to 44. Then two robbers were crucified, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by came to him, wagging their heads, saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, there's the statement about 3 days again, save yourself if you're the Son of God. come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priest, also mocking with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others. Himself he can't save. If he's the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even robbers who were crucified with him reviled him, the same thing. The one robber, because the other one said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, on this day, you'll be with me in paradise. But right there on the cross, they're talking about the 3 days. Now, 27:63. Let's grab 62 for definition. On the next day, which followed Matthew 27:62-63. All right. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate. Remember, Jesus is buried. Saying, sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will arise. They're not being deceived. They're believing. Can you tell? Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. All right. And watch this. Jesus rose again, and it was not a deception, and it was not out of order. Jesus rose again. Now, what am I showing you? It is well established in the teachings of Jesus that it was going to be 3 days that Jesus was in the belly of the world, of the earth, okay? Not Friday night, Saturday, and then rise again on Sunday. So, now, why did you just set that up, Pastor? Well, because I'm getting ready to show you something here that the life of Jesus, but we got to establish the fact tonight that Jesus was crucified on Wednesday, not on Friday. And I don't need any of you leading me to the edge of the cliff to throw me off like they were trying to do with Jesus. Now, that might not make sense to some of you, but to others it will. Here we go. Let's go to the last week of Jesus' life. This would be last Wednesday, all right? Last Wednesday. Now, I've got scripture verses here, and let's see what's going on here. The last days in the life of Jesus begin near sunset. So Wednesday, he made this trip to Lazarus' house in Bethany and then in Jericho, which was about 17 miles apart. So John 12 is where this takes place. This is Wednesday, which I was there throughout the week, and I've tried now for about 3 or 4 years to teach this lesson properly. And I just keep messing it up because I'm still stuck on Good Friday and Palm Sunday. But if you start teaching about the last week of Jesus' life on Palm Sunday, you've done already missed 4 days of it. So here we go. I'm going to get it done this year. John 12:1-2. Somebody say amen or hallelujah or wow, isn't this awesome? Something. Somebody shout. Brother Roger. Can I get a big amen? Amen, Daddy. Glory be to God. Linda Pickett is watching. Welcome,
hi, Linda. Good to have you with us.
Linda, if you're here, come on over and come see us. We want to hug your neck. I know Francetta didn't invite you, but we'll invite you. Come on over so we can hug your neck. We're at Francetta's house. All right. Here we go. John 12:1-2. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. So this is Wednesday before he's crucified on the next Wednesday. All right? Watch this. Then let's just read it. Verse 3. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard. How many love spikenard? That's got a beautiful fragrance, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. You know what it's made up of?
Spikenard.
That's what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
What's it look like?
It's a herb.
It's a herb?
Yeah.
Well, God bless herb. Here we go. Wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But Judas Iscariot said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii? That was some pretty hefty, expensive oil. And given to the poor, he said. He said that because he cared for the bag and he was going to steal the money. And Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. The poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. This is Wednesday, a week before Jesus is crucified. He's at Lazarus' house. Lazarus and Mary and Martha, our brother and sister, and they loved Jesus' ministry, and they ministered to him regularly, as you read throughout the year. Well, there's a spikenard. Kind of looks like a clover leaf. Just so everybody can see what it looks like.
It's from the honeysuckle family. I was thinking it was more of an herb, but
it comes from the honeysuckle family. Well, I'll tell you what, it's sure fragrant like a honeysuckle.
Mm-hmm.
Honeysuckle is very fragrant. Here we go. Now let's go to the next day. In the morning, Jesus traveled from Lazarus' house in Bethany to Bethpage, which is a Sabbath day journey away from Jerusalem. Sabbath day's journey was about 1,000 yards. It's all the farther you could go. How many of you know that ain't very far? That don't even get the tires rolling good in your car on a Sabbath day journey. In the village is where he goes and gets the colt. The disciples go get the colt. They bring it to Jesus. And the triumphal entry happens. Mark 11. I have started this in my own notes, and then I found this guy's and said, ooh, this guy's notes are a lot better than mine, but they're very accurate, and that's a good thing. Thank you, Jesus, that you helped me get them. Here we go. Mark chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, Jesus rides in on the donkey. You can find that in, actually, that's actually Mark 11, 1 through 11 is what we should have said. But I didn't quite say it then. But thank you for helping me and being such a good helper.
Welcome. There's Linda. Hi.
Hi, Linda. Linda Pickett. It's good to have you with us, ma'am. Now, the Pharisees heard the crowd saying this, and they told Jesus, you need to tell these people to quit giving you all this glory. Isn't it something that they were jealous of everybody giving Jesus attention, and Jesus wasn't glorying in the attention for himself. He was glorying in the attention that all these people that were in the street giving glory to God. You ready for this? Remember the verse we started out with? This gospel of the kingdom must be preached. All those people that were in the street were people that had been healed.
Oh,
And who are they giving glory to? They were giving glory to God. Remember what Jesus said? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Jesus didn't hide his light. Jesus went out doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Father's with him. And Jesus looked at the religious leaders and said, why don't all y'all shut up? Because if you don't, these rocks are going to cry out.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have dancing rocks all around you. Now, you can find that about the dancing rocks in Matthew 12. No. Matthew 21, 1 through 11. And Luke 10, 29 through 40. Now, I'm in Mark, and we just read verses 1 through 10. I want us to now go, let's go to the Luke verses. Luke 19, Matthew, Mark, Luke 19. Well, I'm really working hard to get us all the way caught up to Sunday, but Luke 19, 29 through 40. Of course, we'll preempt some of this. Matter of fact, that's just the reference that we just put in there. You guys typed it in. Thank you for that, Luke. 19:29-40. And then I want to go down to verses 39 and 40. Some of the Pharisees called to them, him from the crowd, saying, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he answered and said, I tell you, if these should keep silent, the stones, look at this, would immediately cry out. Now, I don't know if you've thought about the stones that were probably there. They didn't have smooth paved streets because the paving machine went down. They had stones laying around everywhere because they were regularly stoning folks in the street. So they didn't take them stones away. They couldn't stone you with a pebble. That wouldn't do anything except just dust you good. Let's keep reading. As Jesus enters Jerusalem, he begins to weep. We were talking about this yesterday. Now, that happened on Thursday.
Yeah.
Why? You can see it right there in Luke 19, verse 42. If you had only known, especially in your day, that the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. And there's Jesus right in front of him. And all of the people on the street that are giving glory to him, saying Hosanna, are people that's been healed. It's like, how much more plain can it be? Look at all these people and all the miracles that are here. I can't perform a miracle in my own human strength. Jesus said to him over and over, it's not me that's doing these works, it's the Father that's doing the works. He's working in me. That's how it works for you and I. It's the Father working in us and working through us. And when you see this and you see why Jesus is weeping, saying, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. You're going to miss the day of your visitation of the Messiah. Now, he goes to the temple and returns in the evening to Bethany. All right? So, let's do this. Let's go to Luke 19. We're now in verse 45. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple. saying, what's wrong with all y'all? Now, I'm sure Jesus did something to get them folks out of that temple. And somehow they listened. But one time he braided a whip. Now, it doesn't say it here. It just says he drove them out. He said, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And then he heads back to Bethany for the night. And spends the night with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Hey, Gail Blunt's here. How you doing, Gail? Putting you on the big screen. Praise God. I'm on the big screen over there. I'm on the little screen right here. I'm on screens all over this house. Amen. We're studying Jesus' movement in the last 1 week of his life tonight. Welcome. And so far, we've made it to Thursday of last week. Jesus has been to Mary, to Lazarus, Mary and Martha's. He's been anointed. And then he just rode in on Thursday. Ready? On Thursday, not Palm Sunday. Thursday, he rode the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And now, Friday, we're going to the next day of Jesus' ministry. Now, this is pretty cool. Let me see where I'm at. Now, we are in Friday. Jesus is traveling back from Bethpage to Jerusalem to go back into the city and get done what he's got to done. Remember, the gospel of the kingdom's got to be preached. And Jesus was preaching that gospel until he said it's finished because he got the thief saved on the cross. Right? So now here we go. Friday morning. On the way back into Jerusalem, we're in Israel is where we are. And we're going to Mark chapter 11. All right? Mark chapter 11. And we're going to go verses 1 through, not 1, it's 12. Hi. Here comes Mary Pastor Rick charging in.
Linda says,
Linda Pickett.
I thought he turned over all the tables in the temple angry at the time because he saw what they were doing.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. I don't know what I may have said that was different than that, but that is exactly what it said. That he was angry. He said, you have made this a den of thieves, and my house will be known as a house of prayer.
Amen.
Very good. I'm in Mark 11, 12. And 13 and 14. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. It's morning. They woke up. He's hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on tree. Scott Sherrill, welcome, buddy. Good to see you, man.
Hey, Scott.
When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Jesus is the only one in the universe that has the right to expect you to produce in a season when it's not time to produce.
Mm-hmm.
I want. Verse 14 is one of the coolest verses of your Bible. This verse matches 1 John 5:4 that we read earlier. In response, Jesus said to the tree. The tree was talking to Jesus. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
In response to the tree, Jesus said, let no one eat up fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard him say it. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
This is on Friday morning, heading back from Bethany back into Jerusalem. Jesus hungry, and there's a fig tree. All right? Now, everybody just hold your place there, and let's do this. Isn't that something? All right, here we go. Now, Jesus taught one of the most powerful principles of faith right there in his ministry. And this is on Friday, so he's got five days left in his ministry. One of the most powerful principles of Jesus' whole ministry, he taught 5 days left in his ministry. Now let's read it right now. I want to read it together. Mark 11, and let's read this. We're going to 15, and then we're going to run down through 24. We're just going to read it. Mark 11. 15 through 24. A lot of verses tonight. I know I'm going very slow to help you guys. How am I doing? Could go slower? Okay.
No.
Here we go.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
So they came to Jerusalem, Mark 11, 15. He went in the temple, began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He would not allow them to carry wares to the temple. He taught them, saying, It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Oh, I put the cleansing the temple on the wrong day. But when you read the Bible, you always find out the truth. When you know the truth sets you free. Jesus was very specific right to the end to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And he was going to rebuke them to the very end, saying, you guys are wicked. Turn from your ways. Watch this. That was Friday when Jesus cursed the fig tree. Now we're on Saturday. We're kicking this thing. Everybody just keep going, because I'm giving you chapter and verse for this. Oh, wait, I got chapter and verse for going back to Bethany on Friday night. Want that? I do too. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 17. Yeah. Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. So that would have been Friday night, because it was feigning having fruit and it didn't have it. And he said, let no one eat fruit of you ever again. Now, as I opened up to Matthew 21, I found a set of verses I want to read, because it's very good. This is one of the teachings Jesus gave on Friday when he was at the temple. All right. This is Matthew 21, verses 12 through 17. Just stick with us, brother. You're doing a good job, Roger. Keep posting your amens, hallelujahs, and whatever, brother. I'm in Matthew 21:12. Jesus went to the temple of God, drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be known, called a house of prayer, but you've made a den of thieves. Look at 14. Then the blind and the lame came to them, and he healed them. I got to make my notes a little brighter here because I didn't get that there. Did you hear me, computer? Make my notes brighter. So Jesus cleanses the temple, and then he's healing the blind and the lame. When the chief priest and the scribes saw the wonderful things he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Why? Because the people loved him, and the people hated the scribes and the Pharisees. He said to them, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said, yes. Have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? What I wanted you to see is in one afternoon, on Friday afternoon, Jesus drives out the money changers and then in the same place heals the lame and heals the blind. In the same afternoon, in the same place that he just drove some of them out, he's now healing in the same place. You want to talk about an afternoon in the ministry of Jesus?
Yeah.
This was an afternoon in the ministry of Jesus. And sometimes people are like, oh, Pastor, Jesus didn't do all that. I'm reading it to you right out of the Bible chapter and verse.
Amen.
The only problem we have is we've listened to teachers who just gave us their peace they wanted us to have rather than just saying, wait, what does the Bible say? Write it down and make it work. Now, here we go. So then we already read that Jesus went back to Bethany. Watch this. This is how I think it happened. He gets back to Bethany to Lazarus' house, and Lazarus is like, how'd it go, Jesus? And Jesus is like, well, another day in the ministry. Took my whip and drove out some wicked scribes and Pharisees, and Lazarus like, yeah, good job, Jesus. And then there was some blind and some lame people. We healed them. Well, glory be to God. Mary and Martha, glory be to God. Glory, thank you, Jesus. People got healed. And Jesus like, what's for supper? And they fed him, and he laid down and went to sleep. Now, you ain't going to find all that in the Bible, but that was the Coddle paraphrase that I believe that. Saturday morning. Are you ready? I love Saturday morning. How many love Saturday morning? I remember.
Amen.
Saturday would be the Sabbath. So now there's a limit on what the scribes and the knuckleheads can do. But there's no limit on Jesus. All right? Jesus, traveling back to Jerusalem from Bethany, the disciples said, look at here. Mark 11. Let's read it. Mark 11, verse 20 and through 24. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to Jesus, Rabbi, the fig tree which you cursed yesterday has withered away. And Jesus taught one of the most powerful principles of faith there is. You ready? Verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, Don't have faith in yourself. Don't have faith in your job. Don't have faith in your church. Have faith in God. All right. Then he said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, not just a fig tree, to the mountain be removed and cast into the sea. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Now watch this. Well, no, keep reading. 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. This is one of the greatest principles of faith of the whole New Testament. And of course, anybody that knows Dr. Kenneth Hagin, this is where Brother Hagin started every message he ever preached, was Mark 11:22. That's where he started every message. Once he saw it in the Bible and he got himself healed from the deathbed of affliction, like he literally died, went to hell once, he died, went to hell again, and he died the third time, God said, you got to go back, you're not done yet. And it was from this verse. But Mary asked the question, does the Bible say what the tree said to Jesus? Yes, it does. Let's go back to verse 13. Seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves. That's what it said. Boing, I got leaves. He went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. But that's what happens when the fig tree says, I got figs, is it's got leaves. So the fig tree was feigning being a fruit producer. And Jesus said, I was trying to be very ecclesiastically, wordly proper without calling you a liar. All right, anyways. So the tree was speaking to Jesus when it said, I got leaves, I got fruit. And Jesus showed up and said, you got leaves, but you don't have fruit. Nobody eat of you ever again. You might say, well, that's just mean to do to a tree. Wait a minute. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. Do you remember the story where Jesus showed up in the garden and said, how come that tree's not producing? And the man said, give me another year. We'll make it produce. And he came back the next year and he said, why is it not producing? Give me one more year. And the next year they took it. They dug it up, took it out, threw it in the fire and burned it. Why? Because it did not grow, develop, and produce fruit. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another, and that you bear much fruit. And what is the fruit that we're bearing? Your eternal life, and you helping other people find eternal life.
Amen.
Amen.
You almost got me, Mary. That was almost a 90-second lady jump right there. I don't know
Mary
if you saw.
Nancy.
That was Mary. Maybe it was Kathy, too. I don't know.
This was a good amener.
But you almost got me. I was just almost took me there.
Amen. There, Kathy.
It didn't get all of my stomach muscles, just the outside edge. It's like, oh, they got me. But listen, what this is teaching, Jesus is teaching the disciples right there, like, hold it. I know I've been showing you faith all along through here. I am going to show you faith to the very end. Right? Why? Because Jesus had to go all the way to the very last breath in faith so that when he entered hell, his faith would raise him from the dead and his heart of purity would be able to raise him from the dead. Because if he had any unforgiveness and any bitterness, he would not have been able to raise from the dead. People have to have more faith. Amen, Linda Pickett. Linda, if you live here in this town, you oughtn't get in your car and come see us tonight. Oh, it might be late for that. Anyways, maybe we can see you tomorrow before we leave. Well, hug your neck. Let's look at it again. Mark 11:23. Oh, my goodness, look what time it is. Can we make it all the way through Saturday?
Yeah.
I love this. But I want you to see this. Verse 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. But now circle every time you see the word say. All right? 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, ask in prayer, to say in words, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Not only was Jesus telling them to say to the mountain, Jesus was speaking to the mountain in their life of more faith, showing them the principle of faith is, I say to you. He was exemplifying the very thing that he was teaching by saying it to them, teaching them. Not only could they see it, the fig tree dried up, but they could see it because they're like, wow, you're saying it to us and we're getting it. Right?
Yeah.
But I don't know whether that was deep and philosophical. I sure didn't mean it to be. It's supposed to be light and easy. So if you didn't get it, just don't worry about it. We'll hit it again the next time we come by here. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have them. Why? Because he said you would have them. As long as it's within his will and you're not hurting somebody else, or you're not asking Jesus to make you sick and take it away from somebody else, that is not God. That is not right. That's not the Bible. I don't care what anybody told you. Jesus is the only one that had shoulders big enough to bear the stripes, and he's already done it. So you just have to receive what God's already done. Got a hand up on somebody. Go ahead, Mary.
Well, forgive me if I'm wrong, but you're talking about Jesus and the fig tree. Is it okay to tell you about a sermon I heard about Jesus and the fig tree? I'd like to run it by you because I know I can trust you for the truth.
Yes, you can. Give me the short version.
The short version is, in this sermon, they said that Jesus and the fig tree did have a conversation with each other, and that, long story short, it had something to do with the fig tree and the Garden of Eden, and no, there wasn't an apple. It was a fig tree.
Well, let me say this about that. That person has done a little more diligent study than what I have, if they know that to be the truth.
So they were just saying in their sermon that Jesus had said something to the fig tree about, you remember what you did in the Garden of Eden, and he cursed the tree because of that.
Yeah, I don't see that in here anywhere. And I've never heard that from any of the teachers that I've followed. This is a very simple teaching right here that just says, I showed up to have fruit from you, and you don't have fruit. Nobody's going to eat fruit from you. You're not going to fake having fruit anymore. Now, the part about it being a fig tree in the garden.
But Eve took fruit from the fig tree instead of an apple.
Well, the tree in the garden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily an apple tree, although it may have had some form of a fruit that was on it. it doesn't say it was the apple tree. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it doesn't, that's, you know, people have just made it apple because that's an easy thing for everybody to see somebody taking a bite of an apple. So could it have been a fig tree? Very well could have been.
Yeah, it could have been because that's where they got their leaves to cover up with.
Well, can you imagine what kind of suit Adam had when he sewed leaves together? Because there wasn't no seamstress before the day. They were clothed in the glory of God. I mean, it says they were naked in the garden and unashamed because they were clothed in the glory of God. So anyways, that's very good. I've never heard that before, Mary. I appreciate you sharing it with us. And everybody, keep your ears open now so that we can hear and see if anybody else has ever heard this story. If you have, what we want is some form of documented proof. Otherwise, we're going to be teaching speculation, and all speculation is built on what you don't know.
So should I just forget you're in there?
Well, no, I wouldn't forget it. I would just say, well, let me see if I ever hear anybody else say it. Because there's no record in any of the cases right here that Jesus said, this is because of what you did in the garden. The tree didn't do anything. The tree was standing there, and Adam and or Eve took of the fruit because of the serpent, not because of the tree.
Thank you for
Well, I mean, think about it. The tree was just being the tree.
Yeah.
And God said, of all the trees of the garden, you can eat except that one. Well, the tree wasn't standing there going, nay, 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 you can't eat. It was the tree wasn't doing that because there was no sin in this world. So to say that God, that Jesus is rebuking the tree because of what the tree did in the garden, the tree didn't do anything in the garden. The Satan did, and the serpent deceived Eve, and Eve is the one that did the sin, not the tree.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yes, it does.
That's why you come here, Mary.
Thank you. I knew I could ask you and you'd tell me the truth. So
everybody just hang loose. Well, I've never had anybody ask me that question before, but once again, you didn't stump me. You got to come up with a better one than that.
I like Rebecca's comment. You couldn't cover up with apple blossoms very well.
You couldn't cover up with apple blossoms very well. They would have had to use a whole spool of thread, not just a little spindle.
Good girl, Leanne.
No, it doesn't say what it was. And the reality is, whatever it was, well, wait, we're there. Let's just go there. Let's go to Genesis 3. We'll get back. We're going to finish Saturday, but let's just do Genesis 3. There's nothing wrong with what we're doing right now because it's all in line here. I've never heard this story before that Mary's talking about. But that's okay. I haven't heard it all in no sense of the word. Now let's go down here to Genesis 3. Let's just start with one. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, as God indeed said, you'll not eat of the tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. It was not true that God said, you shall not touch it. That was a misunderstanding of what Adam had heard from God. So, here we go. Genesis 2, and we're going to read verse 16. 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. It does not say touch. It says eat. And one Bible scholar said, there's no proof, but one of them said, I believe that it says that, because they were supposed to pick that fruit and offer it as a tithe to the Lord because it was his tree. and I bring are our tithe to God. Well, his holy tithe that belongs to him, we bring it and present it back to him. Let's go back now to verse number 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Was that a true statement?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a true statement. Their eyes were open, and they did know good and evil, but they won't be like God. They'll be like him. All right.
Excuse me? They'll be like who?
They'll be like, they took on the nature of Lucifer.
Oh, okay.
Because they're like the father, the devil. That's what God said to, that's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. But that's exactly what they did when they submitted to the deception. They submitted all the earth under the rulership of that wicked being, Satan. Let's keep reading. Verse 6, when the woman, look at this, verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she could see it, that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree desirable to make one wise. That was the deception. The woman saw the tree was good for food. It had fruit. It was pleasant to the eye. It must have been good-looking fruit. Mm-hmm. How many like a big red shiny apple? I do.
Love it.
But I've never seen an orange or a grapefruit tree, so I might like the looks of them too. Mm-hmm. And I definitely like to see that big papaya or whatever it was that Brother Julian had.
Pomegranate.
Is that what he had? Yeah. She took of the fruit of it and ate. She also gave her husband, who was with her, and he ate. He should have knocked the serpent out the tree. Take a hoe to him, Adam. Come on. And the eyes of both of them were opened. So the tree did look good, and the tree was good for food. It had a fruit on it, but it was God's tithe that he was requiring of man to pick, you know, I don't know. There's no proof of it. There's no proof, so it's a speculation. You can't build a doctrine on a speculation, because then you build your doctrine on what you actually do not know. And you can never build a doctrine on that. Although you can look and say, well, that principle is in the Bible.
Right.
And so be it. I really appreciate you bringing it up, Mary. That's a good thing. Now, let's get Saturday done. So we are back in Jerusalem. The tree is dried up. And we're going now. Let's go to John chapter 12. I got to get myself back in back in Jerusalem here. This would be Saturday, all right? John chapter 12, and some Hellenist Jews showed up. And let's see where to go. Wait, John, come on, look at the notes. Just look at notes. It doesn't hurt you. John 12, verse 20. Messed up when you have to tell yourself to look at notes because you don't normally look at notes. Now, there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. The feast is the Passover. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. And Philip came and told Andrew. But you know, Philip didn't go tell Jesus. He went and told Andrew. And in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. Jesus answered them, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit, much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. And Philip is standing there going, no, I just ask you if the Greeks could see you. Did you notice the response that Jesus gave? I only say what I hear my Father say. And it didn't make sense to Philip and Andrew's question. The Greeks would like to see you. Verse 27, my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Now watch this. What's going on? The Greeks wanted to see Jesus. Jesus teaches another lesson. I'm going to have to die. I'm going to have to be planted in the earth. I'm going to be there 3 days. I'm going to hell, and I'm going to deal with the devil and all of his power while I'm there. I'm taking all of sin and sickness and disease and curse, and I'm taking it to hell where it belongs, and I will rise triumphant as the sacrificial lamb, and I will take my own blood and put it on the mercy seat in heaven, where the mercy seat is, the Ark of the Covenant is, and I will be forever the faithful high priest, and I will be your elder brother, the firstborn again from the dead.
Amen.
Woo! Make you want to get up and run around the house a little bit. If I didn't think I would knock a bunch of stuff over, I might do it. But I don't have my running shoes on. I got my clumsy boots on, so I got these boots on, and they might not let me run like a track star. Jesus states his time has come to be glorified. And a thunderous voice from heaven, verse 28, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thunders. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now, the ruler of this world will be cast out. Look at that. Now, that's not one of the verses you hear everybody talk about. I don't even have it underlined, but it's underlined now, and it's got a big box around it. Now, the ruler of this world will be cast out. What was Jesus saying? I'm going to be planted in the ground, and I'm going to go deal with that ruler that Adam submitted the earth under when he ate that fruit from that tree. He submitted this earth under the rulership of Satan. That's why in the Old Testament, the devil beat the bloody snot out of people. Because they didn't have the blood covenant that we have. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They didn't have Jesus, the sacrificial lamb. They didn't have redemption. They had covering, and that's all it was. And it happened once a year. Verse 32, and if I am lifted up, I will draw all men, people, to myself. He said this, signifying what death he would die. The people answered him, we've heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, a little longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you have become sons of light. Say it. I am a child of the light.
I am a child of the light.
I am a child of the light. These things spoke Jesus and departed and was hidden from them. And he leaves the city and heads back out for the remainder the Sabbath. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is, putting
now,
it all together.
When you begin to actually see it laid out, this year I was determined to have it all laid out in one set of verses so I never had to say any words but straight out of the Bible. And that was a more daunting task than what I thought that would be. But it's okay. I'm closer this year than I have ever been on that issue. Now, when you, let's see. I'm just going to keep reading. I want to read the rest of it. What time is it? Oh, my goodness, look what time it is. Okay, we got to finish Saturday, and this is Jesus teaching on Saturday. Verse 37. Although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. And the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn, so that I should heal them. But Jesus didn't send anybody to hell because he wanted to. Amen, Linda. I am a child of the light. The one and only Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I am a child of the light. You know, back when all we had was Facebook, everybody would type it in. And then they started threatening us with taking our comments away, but we all still ought to type it in.
Yes.
Amen. That's good.
So far, all they do is take your comments away.
Yeah, so far, that's all they do is take your comments away. They don't take you away. 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. In other words, not allowed to come back there to worship. I'm still in John chapter 12, and I'm in verse 42. I'm going down from 42 down through 50. I had attempted to say that. Don't know if I got it done. Look at 43. For they loved the praise of men. Have you ever known a religious person that loves the praise of men? It doesn't matter who you are or where you are, do not love the praise of men. If people are truly grateful for what you've done, receive it from them, tell them thank you, but don't let anybody magnify you. It's like Brother Terry said, Brother Terry Meyer said, the donkey that Jesus rode in on would have been a fool if he went back to the stable and said, I am the donkey. And the rest of the donkeys would have said, no, I am rode on you, donkey. Big ha-ha. Let's read Roger's question. I have two doors. One that is inside the attached garage and two patio doors. So do you place red ribbon on the garage and the whole patio door? Or only one door is open, is too open? And into the conference door. Well, that I would say that's up to you. I want Brother Dave to put ours on the door of our apartment where everybody can see it. Brother Dave, I'm trying to get it done, but if you don't mind doing it today, that'd be all right. And send us a picture so we can share it around for people. So that would be my statement. Put it on the door of the outside door where people can see it. That's the idea. When and here's the cool thing about it. I believe you're going to begin to see them. In Jesus' name, may we see the... Matter of fact, let's say it differently. Jesus, help all of us see that is decorated with a red ribbon so we can stop and knock on the door and say, me too, brother.
Dad.
What are you doing?
Roger has a question, Rebecca says. Oh, never mind.
All right.
Got it.
Now, I want to read 42, 43, and 44. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest he should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, he believes in me, believe not in me, but in him who, and he who sees me, sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. John 3:16-17. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. And if anyone hears my words, verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word which I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father told me, so I speak.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I need my bongos. Amen. And amen. We had Jesus in Bethany and Jerusalem, and Bethany and Jerusalem, and Bethany and Jerusalem. And now, he's back to Bethany. And the next day, which would be our Sunday, is the first day of the week in the nation of Israel. And we'll pick that up tomorrow night. We're going to have to get it all done tomorrow night because Wednesday night is the night he's crucified. So I want you to come bright and early tomorrow night to the program and be ready to dive in and get Jesus all the way through into the Passover. So we're ready for Wednesday night because that's the Passover feast. And then that's where Jesus does John 14:15-17, his high priestly prayer, his shepherd's prayer. And then, of course, Jesus suffering. Even in this chapter we just read, Jesus said, if it's possible, Father, take this cup from me. Why? Because it was a severe cup that he was going to have to bear. And yet, empowered by the Holy Spirit, Jesus drank the cup and he did it all for you and me. And we thank him for what he did in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I'm going to close with one more verse. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. And that's 5 through 11, actually, but I'm going to just read 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. For being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Made himself of no reputation. He had to make himself do it. Took on the form of a bondservant, come in the likeness of man. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. No matter what you and I face, Paul said, twice the Holy Spirit used Paul to say, I have the mind of Christ. He lives in you. Of course he does. He is the resident force within you. If you just believe you're a human doing a spiritual experience, you'll miss it. But if you believe you're an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus, an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, a minister of reconciliation, you'll realize you're something supernatural going everywhere to help anybody in their physical life solve the problems that they have in Jesus' name. Going to preaching again, it's time to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for these wonderful truths. And thank you for helping me be able to get it out this year. Get it out. And Lord, as we watch you to the very last moment of your life, be filled with love and mercy and grace and power and might and dominion and strength. As we watch you, thank you for the wonderful example that we can be faithful to the very end. And you will always be faithful to us. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Let's receive communion together. Amen. New covenant worship. I love it because on the night of the Passover, where they actually sacrificed the lamb and the feast was all prepared, and Jesus went through the whole Passover feast, at the end of that feast, Jesus said, verse 23, I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you. Paul's telling this. Jesus came and showed this to him in the wilderness. That on the same night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. After the Passover, the last Passover, he took bread and he blessed it. He broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and is ruling as the head of the church. You proclaim that until it comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. The only prerequisite to communion is examine yourself. And then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 32, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. I like that. Amen. How many of you like that? I like it. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love. Cast out fear and all the torment that goes with it. Because there's no fear in love, and there is no fear in the communion elements, the communion service. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, maybe you're new to us. If you've never been born again, you've never, you ready for this? You've never been restored to your relationship with the Father. I'm learning to say new words. What do we always say? Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. No, if you've never been restored to your relationship with the Father by receiving Jesus, this ain't about a churchianity thing. You're restored and reconciled to your relationship with the Father by receiving Jesus. Now's the time to do it. We're going to pray a prayer right now that takes 60 seconds. If you mean it from the depths of your heart, you'll be right with God. I encourage everybody within the sound of my voice, pray the prayer with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every
day. And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
And John chapter 1.
And John chapter 1.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Say this. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the
And you rose again on the third day.
And you rose again on the third day.
Put your hands out like this and say, I receive you into my life right now.
I receive you into my life right now.
All of your grace.
All of your grace.
All of your mercy.
All of your mercy.
All of your love.
All of your love.
All of your righteousness.
All of your righteousness.
Filling my very being. Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and
language.
Live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. And you know what? If you just prayed that prayer and you meant that from the depths of your heart, your life just changed forever. Now watch this. I love this part of it. Jesus has now filled every part of you. And you might even be experiencing it on the inside. Many nights when I pray it, I actually experience it myself all over again. I love it. What's going on? Darkness just turned to light because the light of the world just came in. Fear just turned to faith because Jesus came in and the author and finisher of your faith just filled you. You're bound by sin. Jesus brought his righteousness and you're filled with the righteousness of God. You're made into it. Now, the Father looked at Jesus and said, adopt them into the family. You're an heir of God. Join heir with Jesus. Everything that Jesus has access to, so do you. Like, really. Like, actually. You'll never be the Son of God, the divine Son of God. But you have access to everything that he has access to. He's the head. So naturally, if the head has access, so does the arms and the toes and the fingers. Even the belly button. Wait, Pastor, does Jesus have a belly button? Yes, he does. He was connected by an umbilical cord. I don't believe Adam has a belly button. Unless, of course, Jesus just went and scooched up a little bit of skin there so he got a place to hold the salt while you're eating celery in bed watching TV. God just came into your life, and now you have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit living in you. And they're there as a resident teacher to guide you every day. Don't worry about becoming a Christian, quote-unquote Christian. Just get up every day and say, Father, I'm going to walk with you today, and he will help you. My sheep hear my voice. He'll help you walk with him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Put my email address and website in there so you can get in contact with me. Please email me. Love it. Welcome. Welcome you, Gail Blunt. Yeah, welcome to the family. Now, so good to have you with us, Gail.
It is.
Good to have you with us. Now, the communion service is on the website. I recommend you do it every day. If you're new to this, I encourage you as a man or a mom or a dad, whatever you might be, I encourage you to do it a couple times and then begin to lead your family in. Why? You are the prophet, priest, and king of your family, and they need you to lead them into the communion element.
Yes.
And you can read it right off our website, SammyJCottle.com/communion, and you'll be able to be a part of it. You ready? Hold up our elements. We'll bless them. Get you some grape juice and bread, some water, bread, chips. I like using Cheez-Its when I'm on the road, and I got my little travel cup with me. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name
I bless
Jesus,
and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these
for this
elements.
Time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with
everybody
you.
Pray it with me. Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my
is
peace.
Upon you, Lord.
It's upon
and
you, Lord.
By your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my
in
body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing
every
broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
From your body, Jesus.
From your body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in
and
my
right
community.
Here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community
in Jesus'
faith.
Mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus, that you endured the cross, despising the shame. And you did it all and called it joy. And we thank you. Now we lift up the cup of blessing. The blood of Jesus. Hey, you know, what happened to the... Oh, Jesus, somebody help me. What happened to our Zoomers? Are they? Well, I didn't hear them saying this thing out loud.
Oh,
I'm here.
Y'all supposed to be praying out loud with us so everybody can hear that we actually got folks with us. Love you guys.
I don't talk very much, so.
All right, here we go. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
I am a new creation.
Old
things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it. By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help. For my assignment every day. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus, and the word of my testimony.
I overcome. By the blood of Jesus, every plague.
Has to pass over my life and cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be the glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his bloodshed.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Kathy. Let's sing our song again tonight. I like this one.
Well, I can't sing.
Well, just go ahead. Nobody will know it's you because we'll all just be coming and going as the audio is. Ready? The blood that Jesus shed for me went back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. That gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Glory be to God. Now, it is Monday night. It is 10:52. So I'm not going to belabor my points right here that I would usually make. I'm going to say thank you for being with us. Hope you enjoyed it. Sister Leanne did a pretty good job of making a good set of references. Did you notice that?
Thank you.
Thank you for doing it.
Thank you, Rebecca, for your help putting verses.
Everybody that thinks Sister Leanne does a good job of those verses, please give her a big round of applause. Because you're very diligent, and we all appreciate it. As your husband, I appreciate it because makes all the difference in the world in my notes. And I thank thee for it. Dost thou understand?
I do. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, the comment, the notes, the verses will be in the comments, and they'll be in the notes, and they'll be in the family thread. If you are with us and you're part of us and you're not in our family thread, all y'all come on over there and get in it. I don't just add people. You got to ask to be in it, but as soon as you ask, we let you in. Because we only want people that want to be there. And it's just a place where we come. We talk about everything that happens. We put in prayer requests. We're doing a recipe book and all kinds of fun things that go on in there. And it's just the daily communication for this group of believers, but we would love to have you there with us.
Linda has requested in here, before everyone goes to sleep tonight, we pray for the people of the Ukraine.
Amen.
Prayer, so everybody remember to do that. Thank you, Linda.
I don't know if you guys saw it, but I saw a program today where Sean Penn and Sean Hannity sat down at the same table on Sean Hannity's program to talk about the Ukraine. And Sean Penn looked at Sean Hannity and said, I'm scared of you.
Yeah. Really?
But they sat there like two men intelligently.
Huh.
Now, Father, in Jesus' name, we bless the people of the Ukraine.
Yes.
Bless them to be stronger than they've ever been. Bless them to walk outside their houses and just yell at the top of their voice the name Jesus.
Amen,
thank you, Lord.
Amen,
we speak
amen.
It right now. We add our faith to the International Network of Prayer and Faith, and we say, may every believer be so bold in God with their words of faith that they command all the jets to fall out of the sky and the helicopters not to fly and the tanks to be crushed.
Amen,
listen,
amen.
We speak, no evil will befall them. And everyone displaced will get back into their placement.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, may there be the greatest defect there's ever been in Russian army in the history of the world. And may the people just run and flock to Jesus.
Amen.
Because of the prayers of the saints around the world. May every ministry that's collected money for the Ukraine get it there. May no military or governmental person stand in the way. And may thy will be done on this earth. Wait,
amen.
Thy will is being done on this earth,
amen,
as it is in heaven. It ain't never going to be the way it was ever again. Nobody's ever going to take over Israel again. It is never gone anywhere but exactly what the Bible says.
Amen.
And we're there, folks. Don't know the day or the hour, but he is coming in Jesus' name. Mighty name. Father, bless, what's his name? The leader of the Ukraine? Jeez. Yeah, Zelensky. Bless him, Jesus. And his wife. May they be bold and strong. And may Putin have enough sense to just pull back and say, well, that didn't work, before all of his men are destroyed. We speak this in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I love the pictures of all of the bombs laying in people's yards that never exploded.
Yeah, I know. Isn't
that
awesome?
And Russian tanks sitting everywhere, totally disabled. Amen. Glory be. Yeah, I don't know who said that, but amen. Glory to you. Good Sunday.
Amen.
Amen. Well,
amen.
Hallelujah. Anybody got anything else to say? Well, wait, let's do what we got to do here. You ready? To all of you on Facebook, we love you, and God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. And you ready? Our closing verses are the same. The first verse of the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the last verse of the Bible says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen. Now, we cannot go without praying for Brother John Raymond. Father, we bless John Raymond, and we bless all of the people there at the Christian school that he's a part of. And we declare right now in the mighty name of Jesus that Brother John and all of his ministry staff at Lakeside Christian Academy, that they are closer to you, walk with you in a greater dimension than they've ever walked.
Amen.
Silence every lie that's been told. Help everyone to go to the next level. crush our enemy in this city, in this region, and in this state. And may the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted high above it. We declare that those that are doing this on purpose to destroy are exposed, and may everyone that's in this situation come up to a higher level of growth, development, and maturity. We speak it done right now in Jesus' mighty name.
Mighty name.
Thank you that the angels of the Lord surround them, protect them, and keep them safe. May all of the wicked leaders of the other side run in fear of the men and women of God. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Brother Al Barton, we haven't seen you, but we love you. Brother James Denny, we haven't seen you, but we love you. How many more should I say? Julian and Vamala, Sister Mary Fernandez, all of our friends in Pakistan, we love you guys. All y'all come back now, you hear. And we call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. 32 nations around the world, wherever you may be, please send us an email. Let us know where you're listening from, because we want to be a part. Even if you're in a foreign language, I'll figure it out. I got translators on my phone. We want to be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, that's what we say. Remember this, that we love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And
Jesus
is
Lord.
There we go. Sunday, you seem like you had more to say. Go ahead.